This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today we got a rising star in the building. Young Chris is in here on the couch. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Big chilling.
How you feeling?
I feel great to be here. You know what I'm saying? It's a blessing
for me.
Been watching this since young, so.
Appreciate that.
For sure.
And I just told you, just for the people out there, this is the only interview I'm doing today. The Queen is dead.
R.I.P.
Shout out to all our British homies, because we don't really, like, know that much about her. Really nothing.
Nah, yeah, nothing at all. I didn't even know she died today. I didn't even know how old she was, but RIP to the queen, bro. What the
She's 93. I know.
But I think 96.
What you say, 96? That's the only thing I know. She had white hair. She presided over, or I guess she didn't preside, but she was a part of this country. Pretty big deal.
I heard was that she was the queen, bro. And
yeah.
She just died today.
I'm not sure how much she really did in her life, but it's kind of like, yo, if Donald Trump died, those motherfuckers are going to have memes for us.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he's not even the president anymore.
I feel like it would be dumb riots, too, at the same time.
Here?
Yeah. It'd be, like, riding hard for Trump or not.
Yeah, but there's no sign of him dying. He seems like he's in great health.
Yeah. He's like a 70 right now.
You know, the good die young?
Yeah.
He's never going to die.
No, hell no. He's going to live forever, just like Queen.
Yeah, definitely. So you're coming from Virginia Beach?
No, I'm coming from... I was born in Portsmouth, but I was raised in Chesapeake, Virginia.
Oh, okay. So all over Virginia, though?
Yeah, for real. Like, Virginia Beach is like 30 minutes
What's
away.
That one beach? Ocean City?
No,
that's Maryland.
Yeah, that's Maryland. Yeah.
Never mind. They're pretty close together, right?
Yeah. Stayed away.
I had to spend a weekend there, and it was like the most hellish city I've ever been to in my life.
What, Maryland?
In Oceanside, Maryland, I think.
I've never been there.
Oh, okay.
I barely go to other parts of DMV.
You've been out of there for a while, or at what age do you leave?
I'm still there. Honestly.
Oh, okay. Technically, you still live there.
Yeah, I want to move to Texas though. Texas.
Why Texas?
Like they be having the big ass cribs for cheap. That's what I heard, at least.
That's true. No, that's interesting though, because a shitload of people like Tesla moved to Texas. Joe Rogan moved to Texas. Like a lot of different people. Doing business in particular, they're moving down to Texas, but we haven't really seen it from a rapper perspective.
Shit, I think, there's dumb rappers in Texas, right?
Yeah, but they're mostly from there.
Yeah, facts.
But hip-hop is weird like that, where if you're from somewhere, you're not supposed to move unless you move to, like, California or Atlanta.
Yeah, that's weird.
Those are the two level-up cities where you can do something for your career.
But niggas be born in Atlanta, too, so, like, niggas don't feel no way about that.
Yeah, if you're from there, you can stay there. But I'm saying, like, you know, all right, if you live in... Like, I know some rappers who are from Chicago.
Yeah.
And then they move to, like, Arizona or some shit. And everybody, like, looks at that kind of weird. But if they moved to L.A., nobody would look at it weird. Because it's like, oh, you're working on your career. Yeah. But if you want to, like, move somewhere quiet and chill, people are, like, very confused. Even though that is a very reasonable thing for you to do with your life, right?
Yeah, I mean, why don't niggas just mind their business, honestly? Like, what the fuck? Like, Arizona seems pretty lit, though, at the same time. Like, isn't that on the West Coast or am I tripping?
It is, but it's a bunch of shopping malls, realistically. It's not exactly like... I mean, when I think of, like, what defines a city or a place, it's, like, the shared community, you know? Like, the downtown, like, walkable area. Because, like, if you go to the suburbs of any area... It's going to be a suburb in the sense that people got their houses, they got their yards, whatever.
Yeah, pretty quiet. Yeah, I haven't even traveled too much. I mean, I've been on tours and shit, but, like, I haven't, like, stayed in cities and just really, like, analyzed, like, how niggas move in, like, different cities and shit. Like, that shit's interesting. I got to start doing that.
Definitely. So, what was your childhood like?
I mean, bro, growing up and shit, like, I was just, like, regular ass kid, bro. I ain't gonna lie, like studying and shit, like doing school and shit. I hated school though. I wasn't really fucking with it.
You
I
did
was
all good right, but it. You hated it?
Nah, yeah, I was pretty good, but I hated that shit. Like, I just hated like being in order. You know what I'm saying? Like people telling me what to do and shit.
Right, definitely. Were you always real interested in the music?
Yeah, always, bro. My dad put me onto like the Lil Wayne's, all that. My mom, she was listening to R&B. You know what I'm saying? Who else was my dad playing? Like Andre 3000. You feel me? Like I was introduced to music like very early.
Right. And so your parents still together?
Yeah.
Okay. What were they like?
They was fully supportive of whatever I wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? They wanted to like, if I wanted to be a police officer, they would give me like gear for that shit, put me in a class for it. I told them I wanted to rap. They bought me a mic and all this other shit. Like my dad showed me how to use software because my dad used to be a rapper too back in the day.
Really?
Not no like big rapper, but like he was a rapper type shit. And he knew the software and shit. So like he was just putting me onto game, like all types
so
of shit.
So more and more I do these podcasts, the more and more people say my dad was a rapper. Nah, you know, because it's like everybody's a fucking rapper, and then as you get older and older, more of those ex-rappers are going to be just having kids and shit.
And their kids are going to be fucking superstars.
And sooner or later, one of them's going to pop off, yeah.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
But so you think you, like, got your real interest in music from just having it around you in the house growing up and everything?
Nah, for sure. I feel like seeing the lifestyle of just a rapper really just helped me. I ain't going to lie. Like, I watched a Millie music video by Lil Wayne.
Right.
And just seeing him walk out the trailer and just do this one take crazy shit onto, like, a next music video, that shit is just legendary. I ain't going to lie.
That's one thing rap is good for, is making rap look like the coolest thing in the fucking world.
No, absolutely.
A lot of other professions don't do that.
Nah, you like, know? Being a doctor, that shit doesn't seem too cool. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Besides being a police officer, getting to, like, fights and shit.
I mean, imagine if doctors made little like 3-minute videos and them like wearing hella ice and like pulling an organ out of a guy's body, and that was like how they flexed being a really dope doctor.
Nah, that would be super fire. Like wearing ice, the fucking organs iced out. That'd
yeah,
be fire.
But that's normal in rap. Yeah, drape a fucking chain over the organ. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons this couldn't happen, but
yeah, nah, because that's
medical
like
malpractice yeah. lawsuits.
Yeah, that'll be fucked. But nah, the rapper lifestyle was just fucking cool as fuck to me.
Right.
So I was just fucking with it.
But you finished high school?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got my GED. I finished like dumb early, like a year early.
Oh, okay.
I'm 17 right now, so yeah.
Oh, shit. I forgot you're still 17. Holy shit. All right. So I'm going to completely like rethink how I'm approaching this because you're still like high school age. Okay, right. So you got like you graduated early because you wanted to keep chasing the rap career thing?
Yeah, bro. Like I said, I do not fuck with school at all. So I was just like, yeah, like, get me out of this shit. As soon as like I got like some money, I felt comfortable with myself. I was like, yeah, let's dip out.
But you were good at it because it's like they're not going to let you out early or let you graduate early unless you're like actually able to really do this shit, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because every once in a while I talk to people who are clearly so smart or like so ahead of where they're supposed to be at that they can't do good in school because the school shit just seems like insanely basic to them.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like that was low-key the case with me. I'm not gonna lie. Like I was just doing too much like music shit, and then like I feel like I just got distracted by like the school shit. I was like, I just had to get out of there. I ain't gonna lie. I took like a little GED test and just got up out of there.
Right. So was there any particular scene of music that you were attracted to? Because I see you doing like music with a lot of the new SoundCloud wave. Was that kind of what led you to want to become a rapper, or was there something going on before that?
I feel like that's where I found my pocket for sure. Like I like niggas like X, RP, you know what I'm saying? All the ghosts, really, you know what I'm saying? That came before us. And then just all the people that's right now, I'm just collabing with all of them because, like, that's really just all I know, honestly. Like
One crazy thing with you is how everybody is still so thirsty to put X's name in a title that all the interviewers, when they interview you, they decide to, like, just use that for clickbait.
Yeah, bro. I don't know. I don't like when people ask me that. You feel me? Like, and I don't like saying it because it feels right. Like I'm, like, eating off of his, you know. But, like...
But realistically, like... A huge percentage of kids your age and even older and shit are like, that was just kind of, that was it. Like at that moment in your life. Like I lived through it. I saw how intense it was for so many people that he was just like this guiding force for so many people. And I promise I'm not going to put his name in the title. But it's just, that's like, I don't know. It was a movement that was probably bigger than anything that's happened since then.
Nah,
in terms of hip hop.
For sure. I mean, like me personally, since I'm so young, he's in my top 10 type shit. So yeah.
Definitely. But you think did he like motivate you to also want to reach outside the box and do other kind of music? Because I feel like that was kind of one of his real big contributions, was making people realize like, oh, you could do a fucking guitar, chill campfire song and somehow it'll still be hip hop if you approach it the right way.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Like a couple first songs I started making, like, it was just like kind of repetitive, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't really fucking with it, so I was just like diving into like the R&B type shit, you know what I'm saying? My mom also put me onto that shit, like listening to Adele and shit, but like also X, you know what I'm saying, how he was versatile with it. So I was just fucking with way different genres like from back then now.
Who else was like the stuff that you found that really spoke to you around that time?
Erykah Badu for sure.
Okay.
I see. Did I already say Andre 3000?
Yeah,
he's fire as fuck. I listened to a lot of, what was my dad listening to, bro? Like 3-6 Mafia.
Do you have a girl come over and then you start playing Erykah Badu instead of all this like hip hop shit?
Nah, I play like Brent Faiyaz.
Okay, but you soften it up once a chick enters the domain?
Yeah, for sure. Like straight R&B shit, straight R&B shit.
That makes sense. Because if you're listening to the Island Boys, they're going to want to leave.
What the fuck? Who the fuck listens to them?
Maybe not the Island Boys, but if you listen to, if you have Smoke Perp on, and I don't even try to do you like that, Perp, but if you're playing some like real high-pitched, screamy, noisy type shit, not that Perp is like that, but if you're playing that, the girl might like sit on your bed for 5 minutes and then be like, yeah, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
but if she walks in and you got some Summer Walker playing.
She's on go. See, look, you just got to play the game, honestly, but like sometimes I get tired of this shit, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I want to turn up while I'm fucking. So like turn like Chief Keef or some shit, you know, Young Chris, you know.
That's dope. You're a drill music fan in general?
Drill music, yeah. Yeah. I fuck with it. I fuck with it.
It's kind of repetitive. A lot of it.
A lot of it, like it's just killing for real, but like it's art, as they say.
Yeah. No, I mean it's like the kind of thing where the goats are like the best artists in that genre are fucking amazing. And then there's just like a sea of nothingness of just a bunch of people kinda doing King Von flows over beats and trying to sound like artists who already exist.
Yeah, for sure. I was watching this O-Block video the other day, and it was like some up-and-coming rapper, and nigga sounded just like King Von. I was like, what the fuck? Okay, sure.
Yeah, I know you're talking about, and I've thought about pointing that out before. Being like, man, I almost told my boy Shoebox, I'm like, man, you like a thick Von.
Thick Von.
And I was like, nah, he probably wouldn't appreciate that. So I decided to just say it in a random interview. But yeah, all right, so at what point did you feel like the career started to kick off where like people were really paying attention and shit started moving?
Shit. I think when I first posted, like.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Like my first song to like TikTok and shit, it was called Kyrie Irving.
Right.
That was like the first like traction I've ever seen in my life. Like it was like 5,000 likes, like first day type shit. That was crazy for me at the time, you know what I'm saying? I was coming from like 100 likes, like a post type shit, you know what I'm saying?
Was this in the middle of Kyrie Irving doing his whole anti-vax thing?
Nah, I made the song a minute ago, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like wait, it was 2020, it probably was.
Oh, yeah. That might have been like 2021. It took a little bit for it to kick in. You might have been ahead of the time. I don't know.
Yeah, I was ahead. It was like 2020 October. Okay. So probably a little bit before. But yeah, I posted that song, got a little bit of traction and shit. But it wasn't nothing crazy. So I just kept posting songs until like shit hit like Blood on the Leaves. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's my biggest song to date.
Right.
And then that's what I was just running that shit up on TikTok. You feel me?
But so your parents were cool with you just being posted up in the crib recording all day? Or what was your lifestyle like at that time?
Honestly, they didn't even know. Like they was just like hearing me rap, hearing me scream late at night, like, bro, what the fuck is this nigga doing? Like,
so you'd be recording screaming vocals in the middle of the night and confusing them?
Yes, bro, playing the beats loud as fuck. I used to have, like, this big-ass speaker playing the song loud as shit, like 3 a.m. type shit. I know they was pissed off, but, like, once I told them that, like, labels just trying to, like, fly me out and just talk to me and shit, they started understanding.
They started to see the vision.
Like, yeah, it's like, real life type shit.
That's funny about the screaming shit, because I remember one time I was in the studio with a Lil Wop. And his vocals were like, it was just like the most like croaky shit. And I get in the studio and I realized that he's rapping so low that you could barely even hear it like 5-6 feet away from him. Like his voice is so quiet. And then, but the mic picks it up and they just turn it up and that's the vocals. And like, that just made me realize like, oh fuck, like your vocals don't have to be something that you can actually perform loudly.
Bro. And I never realized that. Like I'm always screaming in the mic. So when I do like try to do some lower tones and I never hear myself, I'd be like, fuck bro. Cause it's really all in the mixing with songs. Cause I mean, that shit is obvious, like to make it sound good. You feel me?
And, but then the other thing too, is you ever trash your voice doing a live show?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I had a San Fran show, bro. My show, like, my throat was just fucked up, pause, but right. Like, my throat was fucked.
No, the first bands I went on tour with or, like, rappers I went on tour with and stuff, I wasn't even, like, performing, and I would fuck my own voice up and then realize, like, oh, shit, like, they probably have to be really careful to not go over a limit that they're cool Hell with,
yeah.
you know?
Hell yeah, like, bro, right before a tour, niggas was telling me, like, yo, hot tea and honey. That, like, that was, like, the fucking formula for me, like, just to drink shit. And that shit will keep your like voice hella straight type shit.
Yeah, because yo, it's weird that I was mentioning, but Smoke Perp was on that for a while where his voice was fucked. Like every show he would perform, it would fuck his voice. And he was having to do all this stuff trying to fix his voice. And it was like really bad. Like he was dealing with that for a while. So that can become a real problem for some rappers.
Yeah, for sure. Damn, if he's not drinking the honey and hot tea, yeah, for sure. Ugh. I was on that bitch every day. I ain't gonna lie.
It feels weird holding the fucking bear full of honey, though, and just having to guzzle it.
I mean, like, oh, pouring it in.
You didn't have the bear?
Nah. That shit is disgusting, though. I swear. It'd be burning my throat.
Right. So when you first start to, like, because it's weird being, like, a rapper who is coming up, but they're, like, doing it all from their fucking home.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, I don't know, like, when did you first start really meeting people? You get booked for a show, and all of a sudden, you're actually meeting all these people that you've been talking to online?
Yeah, the very first show that I, like, met, like, all the niggas I, like, really hang with in, like, LA and shit is, like, I had a show at Inflame Studios.
Okay.
No Soap.
Shout out my boy Box.
Yeah, shout out him. I did, like, a little 200-person venue show, like, you know what I'm saying? I just perform all my hits and shit. And then I met, like, my cameraman. He's out there. I met my cameraman there. I met my motherfucking producer there. I met hella people there, for real. It was just like a marketing standpoint. I was like, oh shit, I could really just like pop outside and just meet niggas and really build with them, you feel me?
That must have been surreal though, because you're like kind of thinking about what going to LA would be like or what the underground scene is gonna be like, and then you actually just pull up, you see all this shit in real life, and like people are just fucking with you and they want to work, and that must have been wild.
Nah, yeah, for sure. It was crazy, bro. Like just being in here, you know what I'm saying? Because I was a fan, you feel me? Like, just a fan of just the underground, and then really just being a part of it is just crazy.
Well, you got to level up because you're getting interviewed in the new studio as opposed to the dirty-ass bike shop that X got interviewed in.
Psh, bro, that's legendary. It was, like, what?
Oh, I could take you there now. It's a Mexican bakery now.
Oh, for us? Like, down the stairs? I mean, down the street?
No, it's all the way downtown. And actually, it was a Mexican bakery before we moved in, and then since, I actually don't think it's anything for, like, 5-6 years that there's just been nothing there, which gives you an idea of how valuable this real estate is.
Nah, yeah, for sure.
Nobody wants it. Okay, but so you have that kind of experience, the live show. Like, where do you go from there? Because like the come up has been pretty wild. You must have started moving around a lot after that, right?
Yeah, for sure. After the live show, I think I was on tour after that with Lil Tecca. I went with Lil Tecca, Tana, and B-Kid Arula.
Right.
And that was my very first show. The No Soap show was like 200 people. And then I had like two shows after that, you know what I'm saying, the same type of venue type. So I only had like three shows before I was on like a three-month-long tour with like Lil Tecca, big-ass crowds, 1,000 people.
Damn.
Venues, you feel me?
3 months.
Yeah, 3 months. Long-ass tour.
Of just seeing every U.S. city pretty much, right?
Yeah, damn near. Niggas was in like Cleveland doing jack shit, you feel
which
me?
You're like, I've heard of Cleveland, I don't know anything about it, but here I am.
Facts, right? I only know LeBron was from there or some right, shit, yeah, you feel yeah. me? So like, but the shit was pretty lit though, I ain't gonna lie.
Right,
the people there are lit.
That's dope though too, because like you get to sort of see what's capable when you see Tecca rocking these big ass crowds and shit. You can kind of just see it right in front of you of like, oh, all I have to do is get bigger and maybe this could be what my life is like.
Nah, for sure. Like it was just motivation, you know what I'm saying? I seen it as more of a motivation than like just like a tour, you know what I'm saying? I wanted my own tour like after that. Like after the first show, I was like, okay, I want my own shit. I ain't gonna lie. And I still have yet to do that, but
right,
I want that for
but,
sure.
I mean, this is one thing that a lot of rappers I think aren't prepared for is like playing a show where you're opening for an artist and they have their fan base, and that their fan base is basically the crowd at the show, and maybe there's some people there to see you, but for the most part it's like You know, it's easy for Lil Tecca to look good on stage when the whole crowd knows his words.
Yeah, right.
Whereas you're out there, and it's like, if they haven't heard you yet, then it might be kind of a challenge. Did you have to go through that?
I thought I would. You feel me? Like, I went out there, like, nervous as fuck. You know what I'm saying? But, like, you just got to be yourself. I figured out you got to be yourself on the stage, you know what I'm saying? Rock the fuck out. You got to match the energy, like, the fans are giving you. Feel me? Like, if you lit, the fans going to be lit. If you just standing around just... You know what I'm saying? Doing jack shit, then they're going to be standing around doing jack shit. So I was just doing crazy shit. I was doing, like, front flips into the crowd. I was fucking around on some other shit.
Because I've seen it go both ways over the years. I've seen dudes opening for, like, legit-ass artists where it was super obvious that they just got paid or that they paid to be the opener.
Yeah.
And they got, like, the worst response ever, and it was just so cringe, so awkward. And then I've also seen it where the crowd didn't know who the fucking artists were, and by the end of their opening set, that they were really fucking with them, and that it was which is really hard because normally, if people haven't heard the songs before, they don't give a fuck. Like, yeah, it's really hard to make people go up at a live show for a song they haven't heard before. Once they heard it 2, 3, 4 times, it's not that hard, you know?
Nah, for sure. I feel like I had songs like go crazy on TikTok. You already know the power of TikTok. You feel me? Like, everybody hears that shit constantly, so they probably didn't know the face, but they for sure they knew the music, and they was like, oh shit. And plus, this nigga has crazy performance. Okay, I'm fucking with him now.
Wait, but have you been performing and you play a song that's cracking on TikTok and you notice that the audience turns up for the 15 seconds that are part of the TikTok more than the rest of it?
For other people, yes, for sure.
That's
for
fucking funny, dude.
Even for me sometimes, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of songs that I know from TikTok, and if I were to hear the whole thing, I would probably not even know it was that song until it got to that part, and then I'd be like, oh, right, yeah.
Nah, facts. Shout out Ice Spice, but I've seen this, like, video. She was singing Munch, bro, and then, like,
No, I'll say it, because I just saw it, too. Yeah. And it's kind of crazy, because, like, I had my boy Black Dave in Harlem do a video with her. Mm-hmm. Like, well, he chose to do it. I'm not going to say I had him do it, but he did that real early on with her. And then all of a sudden, like, people start fucking with the song. Drake co-signs her. Boom. It's like everybody's talking about her. But then she's performing at this crowd, and it's like she's brand new. She got, like, one song that people know, maybe, like, 2 or 3 songs, whatever. But she's just kind of, like, performing the song, and nobody's really, like, freaking out in the audience, which – even though it seems like she's big on the internet all of a sudden, she's still a brand new artist. Yeah. So the people don't really know. And then she just bends over and starts twerking, and you hear the crowd go, ah! It actually makes me wonder if that's real. Because there was a time where I covered a story about MGK getting booed at a concert, I think, and the boos were fake.
Boos were fake?
They add in an audio track of people booing to make it look like you're lame.
What the fuck?
I know.
Wait, why though?
The troll people? Okay. Make them look bad. But yo, and that MGK thing I'm talking about, everybody was talking about it like it was real for a little while there.
Oh, for real?
That's fucked up. Like, they're tricking the world into thinking that the crowd hated them.
Not for real.
It's kind of information warfare.
Yeah, bro. The internet is deceiving as fuck, bro. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna lie. I feel like I don't believe shit on the fucking internet.
Right.
Especially if you could just fake booze like that. What the fuck? I never even heard of that.
Yeah. But it's wild, too, because it's like, I mean, I'm sure you've been through it plenty of times where an artist wants to talk to you or fuck with you, work with you, whatever. You're looking at their page. You're like, oh, they got some followers. And then you start going through and shit just don't start looking right. And you're like, there's no fucking comments. So the comments don't got anything to do with them. And the likes don't look right. And I never heard of this fucking guy. And you go to a different social network and they don't have any followers. And you're like, there's a lot of deception going on in this world.
Nah, for sure. I'd be looking at my DMs, 300K followers. I'd be like, oh, shit, okay. This nigga look fire, 54 likes.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
Nah, that should be confusing, brother. You can't trust anything on this shit.
So you started doing the label meetings when, and how many did you meet with before you made a decision?
I didn't even meet with any in person, but, like, I was just in contact with a lot. I was with Alamo first. Alamo hit me first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I wasn't really ready to sign. I was, like, 24K followers. I didn't want to be an industry plant, like, at all.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, I'm not fucking with it.
See, that's the weird thing is that the fans are so aware of the industry plant shit that it feels like a lot of rappers, if they sign, they have to go, like, out of their way to not look like an industry plant. Or, like, how do you view that?
Like, I mean, bro, shit, bro. I don't know, bro. I don't know too much about industry plants, bro, but, like, I just didn't want to be one, honestly. Right.
I mean, I'll give you an example that there was this kid, Lil Jumex, who was popping off a couple years ago.
Yeah, I know of him.
And he had some songs that realistically were catchy, like they were going up, and, like, I think his first video got like 4 million views or some shit. Right. But the video was like so polished, so professional. And the song also was so, like, it just sounded like it was recorded by somebody who knows how to make hit records, which I know the guys involved, and they definitely do know how to make hit records. And I was, like, just seeing it, and I'm like, if you wanted him to not seem like an industry plant, you really should not have gone all in on this one video. Like, realistically, when artists come out, they have like a couple of shitty quality videos or like not great quality videos. And like, usually when rappers come out, people want to see them kind of like where they came from to start off too.
Yeah, for sure. They want to see you from the bottom come to the top, right? Yeah. They don't want to see you just start at the top. You know what I'm saying? That's like no fun, you feel me?
Yeah.
And it doesn't look organic at all.
Right.
I mean, like the crazy mixing, the crazy videos. Like, I ain't gonna lie, my first video was pretty nice, but like it wasn't like no like production fucking crazy shit, you know what I'm saying? Cinematic ass camera, you know?
Right. But then, and then that's the crazy thing about it too, though, is that if you were just a kid who had a little money and was smart, you could spend a couple $1,000 on a video or whatever, and you could get in a studio with somebody who knows how to master your shit perfectly and everything. So it's like people are almost like more scared of the optics of being an industry plant.
Yeah, facts, for sure. I mean, shit, if you want to blow up, however you want to blow up, go ahead, bro. I mean, it's not my grind. It's right. Your grind, you feel me?
Definitely. But has there been anything, well, when did you choose Columbia?
You said what?
When did you choose Columbia, or how did that go?
I chose Columbia like around last year. They hit me up in my DM, honestly. I wasn't really too interested, though, because like, I feel like it was too early.
Right.
But they kept hitting me up consistently, like for like two, 3 months. And I was like, you know what, fuck it, I might be ready, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm ready to go to the next level, because I feel like I was just young Chris. I feel like I could have been at like another level, you know what I'm saying, for sure. So I feel like they could have took me to that another level. And I got a manager right after the deal to work all that out.
What kind of stuff did the manager start to bring to the table in terms of taking the career to the next level?
I always told him like my ideas, like fashion, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. And he brought like the fashion world in. You know what I'm saying? Different like opportunities with shows, features. You know what I'm saying? I don't do too much features like that. So, but when they do come up, you know, he gives them to me, my manager.
Definitely. Did you spell your name like that because there was a young Chris who was signed to Jay-Z back in the day?
I didn't even know that, bro.
You didn't know that till right now, or somebody told you along the way?
Nah, somebody told me along the way. Like, I was doing a show. He was like, yo, I won't tell the other young Chris about you. I was like, who's the fuck is the other young Chris? And then I looked it up. It was like, oh shit, this nigga like used to be on some other shit. But yeah. Nah, I didn't spell it like that. I spelled it like that because I just wanted to be like abstract as fuck. Mm-hmm. Like if you see the name, you remember it type shit. You know what I'm saying? And you probably can't remember that shit because it's too fucking confusing. But like, at least you know that it's confusing as fuck.
Right. No, young Chris was he had a movement back in the day. But it is funny because it's like, why the fuck would a rapper 20 years later know that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, unless you were like really going out of your way, you probably wouldn't know that. And that's the kind of rap name that's just destined to be repeated. Like 20 years from now, there might be another young Chris.
Nah, yeah, for sure.
There'd be some kid who calls himself young Chris.
For sure. I wish I was more creative before I blew up, bro. And I had like some crazy ass creative name, but shit.
Yeah, but there's sides to it too, though, because it's like, I mean, one thing I noticed is that some of the most popular rappers have the most basic ass names.
Yeah. For sure.
Lil Wayne.
Lil Baby.
Young Thug.
Drake.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, like, Young Thug.
Oh, yeah. Young Thug.
Almost every rapper could have been called Young Thug. Like, that's the most generic rap name of all time for the weirdest rapper of all time.
But, like, he's so hard, bro. Don't know. He fits it, bro. Thugger. Like, he freestyle, for sure.
That's, like, an underrated technique. It's like, but even Lil Baby, like, he's incredible. He has the most basic rap name. But then you have, like, an X. Who had the weirdest rap name that I still don't even really like feel comfortable saying because it has so many goddamn syllables. And then that worked for him. But you got to wonder, like, if X's rap name was like Lil J.
I feel like he would probably be more mainstream. I feel like that's just mainstream as fuck. You feel me? If you have like a basic name, then you're easier to sell.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's interesting. What was it like meeting Yachty and doing that song? How'd that come together?
The person who produced Damn Homie, the song with Lil Yachty,
right?
I think he was managed by Yachty's producer, so they just like linked us together just straight like that, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
and then just got him on the record. He sent it back in like 2 days, type shit, you know what I'm saying?
What was it like being around to shoot the video and stuff? Because I always noticed that Yachty's very much about embracing the young talent.
It was cool, bro. He showed a lot of love, you know what I'm saying? Very just chill vibes. Feel me? It wasn't doing too much. It was like, yo, what's up? We shot the video, and then it was just out of there.
That's dope. Yeah. Who else could you see yourself working with?
Bro, anybody, honestly, bro. I would love to work with people that people don't like expect me to see. Like, I mean, like to work with. I want to work with like Erykah Badu, like I said, John Legend or some shit, Adele. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want you to see young Chris with somebody like Bruno Mars or some shit you wouldn't expect.
The Erykah Badu thing, I think, could happen because there was a period of time during like peak SoundCloud era, like 2016, where she was commenting on all Famous Dex's photos and a couple of, I can't remember who else, but like a couple, X might have been one of them. There was like a bunch of young SoundCloud rappers that she was just showing love and just fucking with them. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I'm going to DM her. I'm going to get a fucking Erykah Badu interview. It's going to blow people's minds.
That should have been.
Did not DM me back, but.
Bro, wasn't she fucking with Uzi too for a little bit? I don't even know.
That sounds about right. She was just kind of enamored by the whole SoundCloud wave for a little bit. So if I had the open DM, I'd be like, check this kid out.
You got to make that happen. I'll DM her. Fuck it.
I'll tell Dexter to do it.
Yeah, for sure. You got to. That'd be lit.
That would be lit. All right. So the fashion shit that you mentioned, though, like what has the transformation been like? What do you feel like is popping right now in terms of the whole fashion wave? Because it's definitely more and more like those pants would have blown my mind. They are very unique, but like those would have blown my mind a couple years ago. But we keep getting more and more used to like pants being almost like t-shirts where you can like just print whatever on shirts now or on pants now and everything.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. What I think is hot, bro. I mean, shit, I don't know. I don't really give a fuck what's hot. I just like what I like, honestly. Like, like Capital. You know what I'm saying? I fuck with a lot of Capital.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm still trying to dive into the fashion shit. You feel me? Like, I got Rick Owens on. Like, that shit is like fucking generic as shit. So.
You think that's generic?
Yeah.
That's like the most expensive shit.
But everybody has Rick Owens.
Once you're a rapper.
Fashion, you know?
Yeah. You go anywhere else in America besides like backstage at a rap show, Rick Owens stands out a lot.
Yeah, for sure. But like, if you say fashion, I wouldn't say Rick Owens first.
Okay, that makes sense. What all right, so you a Lil B fan?
Yeah, bro. Big ass Lil B fan.
Because it tripped me out when I clicked on the Bitch I'm Joe Biden song and realized that you used the sample and the beat really from the Bitch I'm Bill Clinton Lil B song back in the day, which like that's probably my most listened Lil B song because we used to just play it all the time driving around in the van and just. We edited like a bike video to it back in the day. And I feel like there's probably like, that's like a weird coincidence. Cause I would have never noticed that that was what the beat was from unless we had heard that song like 300 times.
Nah, facts. I feel like that beat is like super fucking unique, bro. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like the sample just like brung that song to life. I ain't gonna lie. That song is just fucking crazy.
That was probably 2011 when that shit came out, the original. And I was just like, bitch, I'm Bill Clinton fucking all these women. Like that's the chorus. We were like amazed. We were like, because we had never heard a rap song that, like, it's hard to even put into words what stood out to us about that bar. But it blew our minds,
bro. I'm not gonna lie, he's a lyrical genius, bro. I talked to Lil B before, bro. He's like genuine as fuck. He's right. Super, super, super real.
You DM him on Twitter or something?
I sent him the song. I sent him Bitch I'm Joe Biden. He was like, yo, this shit's fire. Like,
you were trying to get him on it.
Nah, I wasn't trying to get him. I was just trying to show him, like, bro, like, peep this shit. And he was like, yeah, this shit's fire. I should have got him on it,
though. I'm still fighting for my Lil B interview. I'm going to make it happen sooner or later.
You have to, bro.
I'm going to find a way.
I have to meet him. I was supposed to bring him out for, like, one of my shows, but it didn't happen.
I don't know where he's at in his life, but it's, like, it is interesting. Like, he's a real artist or something because it's, like, I mean, he could play a show in L.A. every 6 months and make a whole lot of money and have a crazy-ass crowd, but he don't really – He doesn't seem like he really wants to do any of the typical rapper shit.
Yeah, he's just on this shit. Like, I checked his Instagram. Instagram is the craziest shit ever, bro.
Yes.
I ain't gonna lie. But nah, I found that Bitch I'm Bill Clinton song like 2021, though. I ain't gonna lie. I found that bitch like 10 years after. And I'm still rocking with it. It's just super fire.
Yeah. You guys just had to speed the beat up. Make it make sense.
Yeah. Just sample it. You know what I'm saying? Feel it. Make it young Chris as fuck.
You know our birthdays are 20 years and 3 days apart?
For real?
I think so.
Oh, me and you?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
November 24th,
1983. Oh, shit. You a Scorpio?
Sagittarius.
Sagittarius.
Right on the line. You're November 21st?
Yeah, 2004.
19 years.
19 years?
Damn. Pretty close.
Nah, we close as fuck.
Damn.
That's crazy as fuck.
Wait a minute. 21 years. Math is hard. Josh, don't laugh like you knew the math right away.
I dropped out, bro. I don't know.
You're just running the boards. I'm having to think and talk. Okay. But so, yeah, what's the plan like right now? Like, I'm sure you got all kinds of moves that you're planning on making.
Yeah, bro. I just dropped the tape, Virality. Just trying to keep promoting that shit, you feel me? I'm thinking about like a little tour. Barely Legal tour at SSG Kobe.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that shit starts Day of Rolling Loud, New York, September 25th. So I'm just trying to promote the fucking album on that tour, you know what I'm saying? Rock the shows out. My shows be crazy as fuck, so I hope y'all niggas ready to turn up, you feel me?
Right. Like
mosh pits and shit.
The mosh pits are serious?
Absolutely.
You seen anybody get carried out of there?
Yeah. I was in Philly, big white lady. She got carried out. I think she passed out. I mean, it's like 2 to 3 people that get carried out.
Big white lady?
Yeah.
Were you looking at her like, this is a surprising show for you to be at?
Nah, I didn't even see her. Like, I seen her in the past video, like, I was like performing, then it just cuts to like this white lady just getting carried out by like two niggas.
Wow.
That's crazy. It's like 2 to 3 people that pass out every time.
Wait till you play Rolling Loud. Wait, you play Rolling Loud yet?
Nah, not yet. That's gonna be my first one.
Like, sometimes during like the big artists at Rolling Loud in particular, there will be like a fucking line of bodies being carried out of the mosh pit or whatever. And it's either because they're like dehydrated or they got knocked out in the pit or like they're having some kind of health emergency but then you start to realize that some people just want to get out because like they're all the way in the front of the crowd. Are you really going to get out past like fucking 8,000 other people to get back?
Nah, you gotta
just
jump that
cop
arrow.
A plea to the security guard like, I gotta get out of here, and they sort of drag you out of there.
Nah, for sure, bro. I hopped in the crowd one time. I was like, bro, I don't know how these niggas do this, and I wasn't even at Rolling Loud. Like, imagine being 8,000 deep, like in the dead middle of that shit, bro. You're dead, bro. I don't know.
Make your manager hold your phone. That's the best advice. And your wallet.
Yeah, I lost my phone in the crowd too. I fucked up all types of times on the tour, but shit.
The most fried shit that the fans do, though, that I've seen is being on stage with artists and the fans will just throw their phone on stage with it open and recording, like open with Snapchat open. And they're just trusting that you're going to take it and record yourself and throw it back to them. And then the problem is if you do it one time, they'll throw like 20 more phones.
Yeah, like you get hella phones thrown at you. But nah, low-key, that shit sometimes works, though. I ain't going to lie. But niggas like Uzi just throw that bitch into the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then as a rap fan, you have to like hunt around that part of the crowd. Like, who got my phone? Who got my phone? It's very animalistic, this whole experience, really.
Yeah, bro. It's just, bro. Wild. I can't wait until my Rolling Loud, until I'm on the main stage rocking that shit out. I'm ready for that shit.
That's coming soon, I'm sure.
Hopefully.
Okay, so what should we look out for? You got this new project out, the viral tape, Virality.
Yes, Sirski.
Anything else that you want the people to know about? Anything they should look forward to?
Shit, you know what I'm saying? Young Chris and his bitches, new music on the way, you feel me? Getting way more involved. I'm trying to tap into my R&B side, my D&B side, my I'm trying to tap into everything, you know what I'm saying? Country, I want to fuck with everything. And I'm saying that dead ass. I'm like, I'm not even trying to be joking, so yeah.
Your DMV side?
Nah, my D&B, drum and bass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying DMV, like you were going to start rapping like Hood Rich Pablo Juan or something?
Nah, bro, I've been on that. I ain't going to lie. Like, my first DMV like artist I was really fucking with, like Zan Man, Young Manny.
Shout out Zan Man.
Yeah, shout out him. You know
and for the record, Hood Rich Pablo Juan, not from the DMV, but a lot of people credited him for like going to the DMV and sort of fucking with a lot of the locals and like kind of being influenced by their style for a while there at one point.
I'm not hip for real.
He's a legend, but he got a Fed case right now, so who knows?
Oh, fuck, bro.
All right, so shout out to you for coming on here and everything. I'm looking forward to seeing the new project. I think you should rep your Rick Owens a little bit more proudly.
I mean, I love Rick Owens, bro, but I just think it's overplayed.
Don't apologize. These people don't have Rick Owens. Look at me. I got Birkenstocks on.
But that's way harder than Rick Owens. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's way more rare. Because every, like, I bet somebody in this bitch has Rick Owens. Nobody has Birkenstocks besides you, probably.
In this office?
Yeah.
There's no way. Well, maybe Bossa Nova. But I don't know if he's at that point in his drip life. He's probably working on some Rick Owens.
Shit. Everybody gets their first pair, though.
Rick Owens Birkenstock collab coming soon.
Yo, that'll be hard. That'll be hard.
I dreamed it up. I need 10%.
I need 20 just for being here.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Young Chris. Appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you.
Young Chris. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, TikTok, Patreon, Instagram, etc. Like, comment, and subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. Let's appreciate y'all.